Blog Talk Radio.
Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Sunday, September the 25th, Sunday night in Texas. So hello to all of you from the Lone Star State here in Texas. We're, like everybody else, we're getting ready for a big election on the first Tuesday of November. And with us tonight, joining us tonight, is our good friend George Rodriguez. We're going to be looking at this election season here in Texas. We'll be analyzing what candidate Beto O'Rourke said either today or yesterday when he was very critical of President Joe Biden for not having spent more money or more time in Texas back in 2020. I guess that's what he was talking about. But I think the reason he doesn't spend time in Texas is because nobody invites him. I mean, I don't believe that Beto O'Rourke has invited him. And then, of course, we'll look at the governor's race. The numbers have been, you know, interesting here in favor of the governor. He's up by 7, he's up by 9, he's up by 11. I guess it depends what poll you want to believe. But let me say hello to our friend George Rodriguez. And by the way, before we say hello to George, I just wanted to let everybody know that we'll be doing almost one of these shows every week as we head to the election, to election day. George, so I hope you can give us at least once a week here before election day, because this is going to be an interesting election, George.
Well, I would certainly do my best. I think it's going to become a much more exciting election. I am very much more optimistic than I have been in the past, because I spent in Washington at a conference, and I spent the time speaking to a lot of friends from my Reagan years, and since then, I mean, afterwards, but I spent a lot of time talking to them, and it was, I mean, the fact of the matter is, in D.C., the Democrats are in a panic, are in an absolute panic over this election, and how they play it out is going to be very, very interesting.
Yes, I think you're right. I mean, a couple of things I wanted to follow up on that. On that panic you mentioned. Number one, the former press secretary, I can never say her last name. Is it Bazansky or the one before this one? What was her name, the lady?
Oh, yeah. Psaki.
Okay, there you go. I can never say her name. But anyway, she was on Meet the Press today, and she basically said, if the election is a referendum on Joe Biden, we lose. If it's a referendum on you know, right wing radicalism or something like that, that's not how she said it, but that's what she meant, then we win. And it's interesting, George, on that point, I want to just say that these Democrats are almost like they're all saying the same thing. They're all reading the same talking points. You know, MAGA Republicans. I mean, it's amazing that they all sound the same. If you hear one, you hear them all, George. And the second point that I wanted to make about panic, you mentioned panic. Brand new poll that came out today, ABC and Washington Post. Now, I should say up front that post in the past has had some, you know, pretty wild predictions. But nevertheless, the poll that came out this weekend has the Republicans up by 5 in what they like to call the generic. But the more interesting thing is that on all the major issues, the Republicans are up significantly. And so that's, you know, that confirms, I think, George, why you saw a little bit of panic up there, George.
Yeah, it, you know, the fact remains that they don't have too much to run on. Now, very, very yes. interesting is how they are, is how the Democrats are playing the ads in out here in the states. I don't know if you've seen it, but there is a very shadowy pack that is running ads against Greg Abbott, our governor, and it virtually says nothing about Democrats, mm-hmm. and it virtually says nothing about Beto O'Rourke. What it says is that the governor supports guns, and they have gun violence, that he opposes women's right to abortion, that he has spoken out against various climate change issues. They even blame him. They even blame him, or try to blame him, for the border crisis.
Right.
claiming that he caused a backup on the at the border as he tried to shut it down, and you know, it is really so outrageous because, again, it doesn't mention the Democrats, it doesn't mention what they are supporting, but it attacks him. Now, the very same approach is being taken for the county judge position here, which is the highest position in the county, the highest elected official in the county. We have a woman, a Republican woman named Trisha. Oh gosh, my gosh, my name, my brain is going crazy here. She is running against a Democrat, and of course, and again, there is a new ad attacking her for supporting the Supreme Court mm-hmm. on abortion, attacking her for being pro-gun, pro-Second Amendment. They don't say pro-gun, pro-Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. They attack her for not taking climate change seriously. And again, they don't say that they are Democrats. They don't say that they are what they're in favor of, which I think is just amazing how they are trying to hide themselves and the fiasco that they've created.
Right. Well, I think I've seen the ad you're talking about, or one of them. It starts out, there's a gentleman saying, I used to be a Republican, and I'm so disappointed with Greg Abbott. And then he goes into abortion. And, you know, those are signs of desperation. I agree with you, because in the brand new ABC poll, Washington Post poll, it shows that abortion is higher than it used to be as a concern, but it's still behind all the other ones. I mean, whether
right.
it's the economy, whether it's inflation, whether it's the crime, those issues are much more important. And so, I mean, yes, abortion is the issue, but I've always felt, George, that abortion is an issue where one side cancels the other. Basically, yes, I have no doubt that some liberal women, some Democrat women who are not going to vote this year have become more animated to vote because of the overturning of Roe v. Wade. I have no doubt about that. But the question is, are they going to vote exclusively on Roe v. Wade? Are they also going to go shopping, you know, between now and Election Day and figure out that everything is up significantly? Because I think the biggest, you know, we talk about inflation, George, and you and I are old enough to remember 1982, because we went through the same thing back in 82, where people would talk about inflation and they would say something like, well, the inflation rate is 8%, 9%. But what really matters is what the price of bread is, what the price of food is. That's because that's what really hits people. It's not 8 or 9%. That's abstract, academic. But what is when you go shopping, and I know for a fact that every time my wife goes shopping, she comes back and she says, look how much this went up. Look how much this went up. So that's how it's hurting people. It's the cost of food. And as someone said, we all have to eat. I mean, I don't care how liberal you are, we still have to eat. And so that's where, you know, where I think it's in a panic because they don't have any solutions, George, for any of this. They just have no.
No, they don't. Well, their solutions. The problem is that their solutions created the problem. I mean, this
Sure. That's right.
All of this inflation is a direct result of them addressing the issue of COVID or pretending to address the issue of COVID, as
right.
well as trying to create a green plan. I mean,
right.
all of that has created this problem. So
right.
they don't have any solutions because their solutions created this problem.
That's right. And, you know, all this stuff about climate change, as I always say every time this topic comes up, look, I understand the climate changes, but don't make me pay $6 a gallon to live out some fantasies about climate change, okay? If you've got something that I can put in my automobile that runs my car that isn't fossil fuels, I'll listen to you. I'm not married to fossil fuels, or I have nothing to – I mean, I'm not a, you know, a stockholder or somebody invested in oil companies, but the only thing that the oil companies do is they provide gasoline. And really, they have done a pretty good job doing that over the years, George. I mean, we keep demonizing these people, but the fact is, you know, we're going to talk about South Texas for a second and Beto O'Rourke and what he said down there, but you go down, you know this better than anybody because you live in South Texas. You go down to Corpus Christi. You go down to all those refineries down there in South Texas, and you see all those trucks delivering oil and gasoline. A bunch of those truck drivers are Hispanics who are being, you know, when they hear that the oil industry is being demonized, they go, wait a minute, you're messing with my work, George.
That's right. It is the issue of climate change and demonizing fossil fuels has really hurt people that are attached to the oil industry in South Texas, whether it's fracking, whether it's the oil refineries, all the way down to the housewife who has to go put gasoline in the car. I mean, it just has impacted on everyone. Then you've
That's
got
it.
The issue of crime. They've got the issue of crime where it just continues to escalate. And then on top of that, you've got the border crisis. But
That's
other
right.
than that, I guess they've done a good job, haven't they?
Yeah, other than that, everything is just great.
Yeah.
But let's talk about Beto O'Rourke. He said something very interesting here in the last 24, 48 hours, where he blamed President Biden for the fact that Hispanics are voting Republican. Now, his logic is, George, that back in 2020, President Biden's campaign did not spend enough time or enough money in Texas, and that Beto's argument is that we gave away the game. You know, we didn't fight for these voters. And I can understand that issue maybe in 2020, but I don't think that's the issue today, George. I'd like to tell you what I think is happening, and then please fill in with your thoughts. I think the reason the Democrat Party is losing Hispanics is because they keep nominating people who sound like they're from San Francisco, not from Texas, George.
You got it. They have, they seem to utilize very, very woke Hispanics out of Austin or import them like they did, like they brought in AOC a couple of times here to San Antonio. And, these people just don't play well with grassroots Hispanics in Texas. They just don't. But they seem to continue to think that somehow these folks are going to relate with, the typical macho Latino in South Texas.
Right. That's it. That's it. There's like a disconnect, George, between the leadership of the Democrat Party in Texas and the voters. There seems to be a disconnect. They're not on the same planet. They're not on the same frequency, as they like to say. So they're kind of like talking, but, you know, it's just like the signal skips the other guy, if you know what I mean. They're not talking the same language. And when you see how far to the left this Democrat Party has gone, That doesn't sit well. That doesn't sit well with Hispanics. I would also argue, George, that if you're a Hispanic parent and you hear somebody say that your daughter has to compete with a young man in either high school or college, because that's the new thing now, you know, young men compete, you know, a man can say he's a woman and all of a sudden he can compete in the swim competition. I don't think that goes over real well with Hispanic parents. I just don't see it, George. I mean, that's another one of those where they seem to be speaking a different language than voters in South Texas are accustomed to George.
Yeah, I mean, the situation, again, is that they have moved so far to the left. I mean, the average, I would say that the average Democrat in South Texas continues to be an FDR Democrat. But these people have moved on to a brand new type of a Democrat, a Jane Fonda
right.
Democrat, a Che Guevara type
right.
Democrat. And they don't...
A Beto O'Rourke,
I mean,
Democrat.
They don't. Yeah, I mean, they don't... They just don't get it. They just don't get it. And they're losing it because of their message as well as the problems their policies have created.
That's it. And I think you're, you know, Beto O'Rourke is sort of missing the... Part of what he's saying is true, because I heard that from other Democrats, that the party didn't spend enough time or enough money in Texas in 2020. I did hear that from others, okay? That's not the first time I've heard it. But the reason they probably didn't spend as much money in Texas as maybe Beto was hoping is because maybe they made a calculated decision that they were going to lose. So why spend money if you're going to lose Texas by 6 or 7 points or 8 points, whatever it was, why would you want to spend money here when that money could be spent, let's say, in Pennsylvania or in Michigan or Florida, states where
right.
maybe they had a better chance to win, George?
Yeah, it just, I mean, I have got to feel that they've made a decision based on, you know, what the race looks like. And increasingly, I know from talking to folks in D.C. this past week, the Democrats are feeling more and more upset with what is going on in South Texas. And
right.
and that's got to have played a role into how much financial support they're giving any Democrat in Texas.
Yes. Yes, if I was a Democrat in Texas in a very competitive election, I would be I'd be campaigning very hard. Because it's going to be very tough for any Democrat in a competitive election. I'm not talking about some of the others in safe seats. I mean, that's not going to be a problem. But if you talk about competitive election like those three that you've got down there on the border, well, just watch Henry Cuellar. Henry Cuellar is campaigning like he's trying to save his life. I mean, he's campaigning
yeah.
very hard. And at least from what I can tell from up here, George, he seems to be saying... He's criticizing the Biden administration constantly. He's very pro-life, which I think that's another one of those issues that people don't talk about. That
yep.
that the abortion issue is not a popular issue with Hispanics, certainly not Hispanic women, George.
He has absolutely distanced himself from the Biden administration. I believe this past week he criticized the Biden administration again over the issue of the handling of the border.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he is doing his best to run as much in the middle as he can, which may work for him because there are a lot of middle-of-the-road Republicans who are used to him and feel that he's, you know, a known quantity, and it's always better to go with what, you know, the old saying in Spanish, el diablo que conoces, instead of the one that
right.
you don't know.
That's right.
You know, and so you know, that may save him. But the fact of the matter is that he is really, really scared, and so are the other ones, all the other
that's
Democrats
it.
In that area.
Absolutely, because I think this border issue has really backfired on the Democrats because of the way they've handled it, of the way that they've handled it. So I think Beto is, if Beto really feels that maybe Biden did not spend enough time down here, George, maybe he should invite him to campaign with him.
Well, I'm not sure. Again, I'm not sure if it's that he didn't spend enough time or maybe it's just that he just wants to distance himself from Biden,
right?
Because I just see so many candidates running to Biden to ask for his support. I mean, even Kamala. I mean, it seems like Kamala continues to be it continues to be a joke because she just doesn't get down here to the border.
That's right. Yeah, no, I mean, I think you're right about that. I think they're running away from these national candidates like crazy. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back with another segment with our friend George right after this. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, Sunday night here in Texas, chatting with our good friend George Rodriguez from South Texas. George, I'm going to take a 30-second break here from the politics and say that I have a funny feeling that you and I were doing the same thing 52 years ago tonight. And what I mean by that is that I think you and I 52 years ago today, that would make it September 25th, 1970, that you and I were probably watching the first episode of The Partridge Family. I'm pretty sure that I was. How about you, George?
Yeah, I remember. I remember it very, very clearly.
Yes.
I think I love you. I remember that
I think
song.
I love you.
Now
that's right.
Gonna,
that was
the... Now you're going to have it in my brain for the rest of the night.
Yes, I think I love you was their, I don't know if that was their first, but that was their big, big hit.
That was
their
biggest, and yeah.
Yeah, that was a huge hit. And then what I always thought was funny about that program, and of course, you know, when you watch it now, you know, maybe you're more cynical than we used to watch it back then. But I always thought it was kind of interesting that that little boy would play the drums. And now I look at the reruns and I go, did you really know how to play the drums? Or you know what I mean? And then the other young boy who played the guitar. Now, I think there was a young girl. One very pretty young woman who used to be the organist, I think.
Yeah.
And then,
yep,
of course, David Cassidy was the vocalist. But
right.
The mom played the tambourine. That's right. Shirley Jones. That was the mom, Shirley Jones.
Now,
and
I
believe that David Cassidy was her son, right? Isn't that right?
Yeah. No, it wasn't her actual son. She was married. It was her stepson, I think, or something like that.
Okay.
What was interesting was that I had just seen Shirley Jones in Elmer Gantry, in a rerun of Elmer Gantry about 2 weeks before, where she plays, in fact, she won an Academy Award in Elmer Gantry because she plays a prostitute. And I thought, wow.
Wow, that's a change.
This is a change.
Yes. Well, for those who really want to...
It was a great show.
Oh, it was. It was a great show. And it's, you know,
it was
the fact that we're talking...
Extremely
that's
entertaining.
That's it. The fact that we're talking about it 52 years later tells you that that we remember it. But here's two quick trivia questions about Shirley Jones. Number one, she was the librarian in The Music Man.
Yeah.
That great movie, The Music Man. And she was with Pat Boone in April Love, that other movie that Pat Boone made. So most of the time she got to play a very nice woman.
Very wholesome. Very wholesome.
Yes. Yeah, very wholesome. And nobody was more wholesome than Mrs. Partridge herself on that show. Well, let's get back to politics. I wanted to touch on this quickly before we run out of time. We've got a few minutes left. But you and I had to do a Partridge Family moment here, right? I mean, we couldn't pass that up. Yeah, we couldn't pass that up. Wait till the Partridge Family celebrates 100 years. I wonder if they'll remember it.
Well, what's interesting real quick is that the Partridge Family came and went, but the Rolling Stones, who started 5 years earlier, are still going.
Yes, that's right. That's it. That's exactly right. Yeah, the Stones are still around, although some of them are gone, like Charlie Watts and Brian Jones. But, yeah, you're right. They're still running. They're touring, I believe. The Stones are touring, which is pretty amazing to me. Well, one last thing I wanted to mention about the politics of Texas is that the governor's race is taking a very interesting path here, because according to the last three polls that came out, the governor is up by 7, he's up by 9, and he's up by 11. So I always felt that that's going to be where it ends up, 7 to 9 points. I always felt that that's where it was going to end up, and at least the numbers are showing that. But George, not a single poll taken from the beginning of the year, and they've taken about 40 of them, not one of them has put Beto O'Rourke in the margin of error with the governor or leading the governor. I mean, not one of them has done that. So I think this was a foolish mission on the part of Beto O'Rourke, George.
I do. I mean, again, I come back to the same issue I talked about a little while ago, is that the Democratic Party is bankrupt on ideas. They don't have anything to really run on. But then even worse, they have a terrible candidate in Beto O'Rourke. I'm sorry. I mean, the guy just is a very, very poor candidate. The only enthusiasm is the radical enthusiasm that is whipped up by people who are just, I mean, I can't say it in any other terms, who are just anti-America, anti-Texas. Those are the
right
folks, who are so liberal, so to the left that, they want a revolution. They're the ones that are whipping it up. Outside of that, I just don't see Beto, getting traction.
No, I mean, if you were back at this time in 2018, if you drove around, let's say, around the Dallas area, or, my daily routine, driving back and forth, you would see lots of Beto signs everywhere. There were Beto signs everywhere. Now, again, we may see them before Election Day, but at this time, 4 years ago, there were lots and lots of them. And the signs would say something like, vote Democrat, vote Beto, because they were doing the straight party voting, if you remember, 4 years ago. And I don't see that anywhere now. I mean, I don't see any sign. I mean, there's a couple of people in my neighborhood who put up their little signs, their Beto signs, but nothing like before, George. It just doesn't seem to be
the enthusiasm
that we saw for him.
Exactly.
That's the big difference.
I agree.
Now, I don't know how he's doing with money. He's probably doing okay with money, but he certainly doesn't have as much money as he did in 2018, George.
No. I think that I think that part of the enthusiasm has also gone too. I mean, it was people actually thought that he had a chance to beat Ted Cruz, and people actually thought that he might get traction to win the presidency or get nominated for VP maybe in the presidency. But now in this race, nope. I just don't think that. I think people recognize, that he's got nothing to run on, and he's not that good of a candidate.
That's right. No, I think it's got to be very difficult. It's got to be very difficult for the people who invested all of this energy and all of this on him. Well, George, as always, I want to thank you for your time. As I mentioned, we'll be doing more of these with George probably once a week as we get close to Election Day. George, I cannot play for you "I Think I Love You," but I think a lot of the listeners probably want to say that to you, George.
Thank you very much.
All right, George. Have a wonderful evening. And remember, we're going to do a few more of these before Election Day. Our good friend George Rodriguez, always love touching base with George. And finding out what he's thinking down there in South Texas. And that's going to be, you know, lots and lots of people are going to be watching results from South Texas because of those three races, those three congressional seats on the border that could flip. They could be the big story here in Texas. Good night, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.